Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Girl Talking Mas. I am super excited because Mirtha Michelle is joining me. Welcome, Mirtha, to Girl Talk.
Thank you so much for having me, Marissa.
Thank you. You have been an inspiration to me for so long. And you guys, Mirtha Michelle is a Dominican-born actress, poet, and writer. She has a new book coming out, which she's going to talk to us all about. But her previous books are Letters to the Men I Have Loved, Elusive Loves, and my personal favorite, I was just telling you, Mirtha, Letters to Women Like Me, which I truly adore. And I'm honestly honored that I have an autographed copy of this book.
Yay.
But yeah, your books have been so deep and so revealing. And I have to personally thank you for when I first started blogging, I reached out to you for my Empowering Women segment. And you did not hesitate to be a part of that segment. And that was just when I was starting to do my interviews. And here I am, like, you know, 4 years later, doing that. It was actually around the time your Letters to Women Like Me came out. And just you sharing your story just really helped me grow and me evolve to, you know, doing my content and what I wanted to share and be like. And I just really appreciate that. So thank you.
Oh, that sounds honestly like it's like I told you before, my intention has always been to empower other women and to share my stories, and hopefully other people can grow from it. So it's so nice to hear that.
Oh, thank you. I think I know you're dying right now because you're not in Europe promoting your book, because this time right now is killing us.
Well, I go to Europe every summer as an adult, not as a child, as an adult. As soon as I was able to start making money to do that for myself. Right. And I just love European summers. And unfortunately I cannot visit right now because Americans are currently banned from Europe. Who would have ever thought that, right? It's incredible.
Exactly. I know. Yes. I mean, I feel like we're all just going through, we're being forced kind of to go through a time that we would have never imagined, you know, being at our homes, wearing these masks. Just our lives have changed in a whole different way. How has this affected you personally and professionally?
Well, this time right now? Personally, for me, truthfully, it hasn't affected me in a negative way because I don't mind wearing a mask. Obviously, sometimes I forget, but I don't mind wearing a mask. You know, if it's something that can help us flatten the curve and slow down this pandemic, it's the most selfless thing we can do by wearing a mask, which is really not a big deal, right? Obviously, we've all been affected by the pandemic in a personal way. But for me, at the start of the pandemic, I was able to quarantine at my parents' house in Georgia, and I was able to be with my siblings and my nieces and nephews, and because they all live in the same city, and I don't normally do that. That I, you know, I've been living in LA for 14 years, and I don't normally take 2 months and go and spend it with my family. So for me, that was a huge blessing. I was extremely grateful that I was able to have that time with my family, and obviously, I came back to LA and I came back to work. But I truthfully, for me, the pandemic has been very eye-opening, and it's helped me understand how, you know, how the things that matter really aren't the materialistic things. You know, the most valuable things we can cherish are human relationships. And the relationship, of course, that we have with ourselves and the importance of nurturing that. I feel that so many times in society, we fill our lives with other things constantly. You know, we fill our lives by going to restaurants and bars and going out. And we don't always normally fill our lives with, you know, the self-care that we should. And so I think for me, the pandemic was eye-opening. And I always try to take things with a grain of salt, and I try to see the good in things. Professionally, at first, it was a bit uncertain for me because my new book, 18 Inches, was supposed to be released on May 5th, and my publisher suggested to push it back, and so I had a lot of plans. I had been working on doing a workshop in New York City that I wanted to take to other cities, and we pushed that three times to the point that we've just canceled it, and now we're working on doing it virtually. Wow. Right? So I had, you know, other job opportunities that were canceled or delayed, and obviously it's not anything that anyone plans on, but I feel the entire country, the entire world is going through a difficult moment with this, and we all have had our delays and our postponements, and all we can do is like really try to keep the best attitude and keep pushing forward, because nothing lasts forever. So right. I've just sort of like regrouped and readjusted the marketing and the things that I'm doing for the new book. It's like the old ways are pretty much not efficient.
Those are out the window. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I totally agree, because I feel like I've had the same thing, but also I do appreciate the more time that I have been able to spend with my family. Thankfully I'm still, you know, I have my regular job that I still am able to work from home. So that's a blessing. So things like that I am thankful for, but yeah, like you're right. I think we just need to all do what's right as humans and just make sure
what's
we can
best for everyone. It's like, yeah, wear your mask
for everyone. Yes, I know.
Wear your mask. I can go back to Europe.
Yeah, I know, right? Mirtha needs to go to Europe.
They need to go to Europe. So, everyone wore their mask. So funny.
One of the things that I learned about you from reading all of your books is that journaling and writing has been always a big release of emotion for you. Even as a child, when you would write on your hand, I remember when you told me that in our last interview that you would write little poems on your hand as a child. How has the emotional process been writing this recent book, 18 Inches, and what inspired you to write it?
Well, this is a book that I feel I was destined to write. I think all my other books I was destined to write as well, but it's like I feel that I wasn't going to stop until I wrote this book. And I've been wanting to write this book for a very long time, and I've been sort of writing it for, God, since my first book was released.
Oh, wow.
But I feel that, you know, and I say this in the introduction of the book, I feel that this book, it took me a minute to actually put on paper, because it's an extremely vulnerable book, and I'm saying many of my truths, my personal truths, that I haven't even shared with some closest to me. It took a lot of courage for me to reveal who I really am in my writing.
Wow.
And especially in my prose, like in my stories, because many times as a poet, you can write poetry, but people don't necessarily know where that poem originated from, you know, as in the inspiration behind it, the struggle behind it. You know, a lot of times people read a poem and they might relate, they might connect, but they can have their own interpretation for it, right? For me, I've always liked the idea of having prose along with the poetry, so it could give the reader an idea of where I was inspired, with the poem. Mm-hmm. So I, this book, it's just extremely personal and vulnerable. And I just believe that it's going to help a lot of people in, you know, in positive ways. And I think that's my purpose as an artist. I would love to share with your audience that the meaning behind 18 inches, because many people might be a bit confused as to what kind of book we're talking about.
Yeah, like what are we talking about?
I never thought about it like that, but I've a lot of people have somehow assimilated the title to hair or to men.
Yeah.
But it's actually it's something that anyone can relate to. I learned a lesson from my dad, a lesson that I actually wrote about in my first book, Letter to Him and I Have Loved. And in that letter for my father, I describe what my father taught me. I had gotten into trouble, which I go into what exactly happened in this new book. And I and my dad started yelling at me, 18 inches, 18 inches. And I was like, what are you talking about, 18 inches? I had a concussion at the time. It's like, dude, I was just in the hospital. Like, what do you mean, 18 inches? And he says to me, baby, walk your fingers from your heart to your head. The average distance in every human being, adult human being, is 18 inches. That concept changed my life after that, because he expressed to me, you have always been such a passionate girl. You need to begin thinking with your head. I know you want to be successful. You have to have a balance. And truthfully, up until then, I had just been an extremely passionate, emotional human being. And I never really thought with my head prior to my emotions, right? So after that, I really started working on creating a balance in my life. So this book is the result of this balance of certain stories and experiences and realizations that I experienced, that I went through, that helped me understand the balance of her heart and head. And and it's a very powerful book. I generally hope that people read it and for it to do work in their lives.
Yes, it sounds amazing. I never heard that, and I never knew that. I'm so glad you shared that with us, because that's amazing.
Thank you.
I think a lot of people, maybe us as women too, especially and when we first start, you know, growing up and getting into our adulthood, we think with our heart. You know, we always go with what we love, what we're passionate about, our heart. You know, like we don't, you know, you don't think first. You kind of just go.
And then life hits you across the head. And then you're forced to start thinking, right?
Which literally happened to you.
Yeah, that literally happened to me.
Oh my God.
I laugh about it now, but it was not funny 12 years ago.
No, I'm so glad you were okay. Thank God. Believe me. But oh my God. Yes, thank God. But I love that. I love that your parents have been such a huge inspiration to you. I know you shared a post about them on your page not too long ago, which, you know, just about the post about everything that's happened with like Black Lives Matter and just realizing, you know, everything about, you know, what our culture is going through, what all the cultures are going through, and how to realize, you know, how to understand it. And I love that they were so involved and so important and inspiration in your life.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I'm very, very lucky that my parents have always been supportive of my passions, right? And they've always motivated me to pursue the things that I love and to work hard, and I'm very lucky. You know, so many people don't have the same of luck, the same amount of luck that I've had.
Yes.
But I do believe that we can all find people who inspire us and who motivate us. It's just a choice. You know, that's what 18 mm-hmm. inches is about. 18 inches is about making decisions. You know, it's like, are you going to make that decision with your head? Or are you going to make it with your heart? Or are you going to make it with your soul? So for me, it's, I am lucky about my parents, but at the same time, I want to encourage people at home that even if you weren't lucky enough to have both of your parents or any of your parents, or if you did and maybe they weren't as supportive as you would have wanted, don't be discouraged because of that, because you could still mm-hmm. choose to surround yourself with people that are inspiring and that support you and are loving. It's all about choosing the right people around you, right?
Yes, 100%. I definitely agree with that. And I think that's what I did growing up, because I felt like that was my, like, I had my sister that was close to me, but I think I really surrounded myself with other people that could be that for me, you know? So, and then I've always connected to people, you know, like you, you know, I don't know you, when you can connect, or like, I've never met you, when you can connect with somebody like through their books or through what, you know, that's all part of, you know, the inspiration and the healing that you can give yourself. You know, sometimes we got to heal ourselves.
Totally. I mean, it's, the healing is in our hands. Sometimes mm-hmm. we depend on other people to see the changes that only we can make in our lives. It's a choice. I wrote about that in Letters to Women Like Me, and how yes. I made a choice to nurture my relationship with myself. And because if you don't love yourself first, how can you love others properly? So I continuously write about this because I believe it's the most important thing we can realize as human beings, that we have a choice. You know, a lot of times people talk about like the creation story, like Adam and Eve, right? And like that the creator, God, gave Adam and Eve a choice, right? Like it wasn't forced onto them to follow him or to, you know, be part of him. And I believe that's with everything in life. We're not forced to exist, right? You know, we keep going. That's why some people give up and some don't. And it's a very powerful realization that we're creators in our own right. So we have a lot of the say that occurs in our lives. Obviously, there's a lot of things that we can't change because of our circumstances, like our environment, like, you know, how we were raised, how the cards life hands us, right? Yes, you know, yes. Sometimes some people, they can't get out of poverty, right? But they can choose to... They have an ability to choose of how they're going to take the day, right? How they're going to go day by day. You know, do they? It always impresses me how when I travel to certain destinations that are poverty stricken, there are so many people that lack material things, mm-hmm. but I've seen them with much more joy than the people that I have seen that have everything.
I feel like they have so much spirit in them.
But it's like they decide to wake up and see the better side of the day, even though their struggles and their circumstances might not be aligned with that. joy, right? And
right.
I think it's you know, I'm not saying that every day you're going to be happy and every day it's going to be good, because we're all going to have bad days, you know. That's the whole point of coming to Earth, right? Of experiencing the human journey is growth, right? So we have to experience the highs and the lows. But I think overall, it's all about choosing to have a better attitude than you did yesterday, right? And I don't know, yes. That's just like how I view my life, things that I've tried to implement into my life. But I certainly try to look at life in a more positive way, right? And but yeah, I generally believe that 18 Inches is going to be one of those books that when people read it, it's really going to touch them.
Mm-hmm. It's going to open up that door to seeing things in a different way.
It might even remind you of certain experiences, and it could open the door for you to realize, hey, I want to take care of this area of my life a bit better.
Yes. So I know we have so much going on in our community, and I know lately you have been a part of a project with Latina Magazine and hosting their Conversations, Colorism, and Community on their IG Live. I feel like these conversations are so needed. So thank you for being a part of that. I'm so glad you were a part of that. But I also know they're tough. So how has that experience been with the guests that you've guys had so far? And how have those conversations been for anybody that might have missed those?
Well, that idea began when I was being pretty vocal about Latinos understanding that the difference between our culture and our race, because a lot of times people don't understand that your culture is one thing and your race is another. For example, your race is, you could be white, you could be Asian, you could be black, you could be indigenous. You could be mixed race, mixed of those things, and you could be Latino, because Latino is a culture. It's not a race. Like, that's why we don't all look alike, right? If we all looked alike, our race would be the same, but we are similar because culturally we're similar. We were basically colonized by the same people. And so I started seeing how a lot of Latinos weren't as supportive with the Black Lives Matter movement. And for me, I understand sometimes that there could be fear in speaking about certain things, but also I believe that a lot of times people don't speak up. It's because of lack of knowledge. So if they don't know about something, they choose not to speak on it. And so my desire with me speaking out was really more to spread knowledge, right? And to inspire people to go on their own knowledge journey and get to know where we originated from, you know, and where our roots come from. And many of us, most Latinos, our roots are originated in a mixture of indigenous and Spanish, or black and Spanish, right? Yes. That's just the reality. Indigenous or you have either indigenous or you have black. And if you're all white, like if you're all Spanish background, you know, there you go. You could be that too. But we originated from these groups, right? So I feel that especially Latinos in America, in the U.S., they should be a bit more aware that anything that happened when this whole movement began, the Black Lives Matter movement, it began years ago, but recently we've seen the effects of it, right?
Right.
The purpose was because of police brutality against Black people. But also we have to understand is that Latinos experience police brutality too. Any civil rights movement in the country has been started by African Americans, and this supersedes everything because it went on to become an international phenomenon, which is that Black Lives Matter, because overall throughout the world, people of color have been more oppressed than
definitely
other groups. So I believe that if, you know, if we all get, if we all become more informed, right, we're able to thrive more. Because like, if we don't understand that everything that has been done, like the civil rights movement in the 60s, for example, that led for that paved the way for Latinos also, because we were also definitely marginalized in the sense like we were considered colored, right? So it's like we couldn't go, we couldn't sit in front of the bus either, you know? It's the movement that benefits everyone of color. And with the, so I became pretty vocal about it, and Latina Magazine reached out when I did my post about my parents, because both my parents are Dominican, yet they're two different races. And they reached out, and I have a great relationship with them. And so they, at first they wanted me to sort of just do an IG live takeover and talk about it, but I felt that it would be better to have more of a conversation. So we created this concept of just having a series of a conversation about colorism, like how can we heal as a community? How can we improve the relationship with acknowledging, reconciling the fact that we are not our colonizers, that we are people of color. You know, it's like it just sounds crazy even saying it, you know, but in reality it's like we need to reprogram, we need to unprogram and reprogram the conditioning that the colonizers did to our countries, right? So, mind you, I love Spain, right? I love Spain. I wish I was in Spain right now, just because I love going to Ibiza, and it's such a beautiful country. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's like there was a damage done to our people, and we need to change it. Only we have the power, right, to educate our community and educate our family members. And my biggest concern with when I began the conversation, we began the series, was more of like, how are people going to receive it? You know, because sometimes people can receive certain truths properly, right? That's why we did just candid conversations, you know. It's all opinion based, but there's a lot of actual factual information that we're sharing with the audience. And we've tried to get guests, you know, have guests on that can speak to different people, right? To different to different experiences within our community. So, we've had Black, Indigenous, we've had mixed race, our last one was with we wanted to touch on like how to talk to kids about it, right? Because it's like, if we're supposed to be educating others, we really should focus a lot on the next generation. And it's like, how do we educate ourselves, and how do we raise the next generation of strong-minded Latinos, right? That don't discriminate against people because of their color. Yes. And how can we let go of those microaggressions that sometimes you feel it's normal, but it's really not normal. Like, it's like no one should be talked down a bit because their skin is darker than another or because their hair is different than another, right?
Yeah.
So, we're all doing it with just a lot of love and just something that we want to like give back to the community, and we've had a nice time doing it, and I think we have two more episodes, but we did it in a way that we have it up on the Latina IGTV, so it's anyone can go back and watch them.
Good. Okay. Yeah. So definitely tune into those, because I think I missed like your first two, but I definitely want to tune in for the next ones. So yeah. So thank you.
Yeah,
for being
and
a
you
part
could
of
go
that.
On the IGTV, and they're all up there. So
they're all up there. Perfect.
Yeah.
You guys definitely go to them. Yeah. And catch up on that, because I'm sure those are some amazing conversations. And like you said, so much, so needed. And another, I feel like another thing that has deeply affected us as Latinas, as women, is what happened to Vanessa Guillen. And I know you posted about that as well. And I want to thank you for sharing that on your platform, because I feel like the voices need to be heard. And I feel like so many people, I'm in Texas and it happened here. And so it was really, really relevant in Texas.
Story was just so shocking. The idea that here a girl, young girl, always dreamt of serving her country, and then her country did not protect her in their own base. It's crazy to me. Right. It's crazy. Yeah. I hope that her death will not go in vain, and that this, they're trying to pass a bill, the Vanessa Guillen bill. And yes. And I hope it passes. I feel that it's a conversation that needs to be had. It's not just like, you just kind of like throw it under the rug. And a lot, my father is a commander in the Navy, and I always heard growing up that the Army and the armed forces, it's like they have their own rules. They have their own, it's like its own world. And I can't really speak on it much because I've never been part of the armed forces, and I respect the armed forces because in the end, they are valuable to us, and they protect us, right? But
Right.
I feel like there needs to be some sort of reform, especially to protect women from cases like Vanessa's and from cases that we've never heard of. Because the truth is that this is happening. And the other thing that the case with Vanessa really made me look into a lot was sex trafficking and the risk that so many young women are in with sex trafficking. And I need to do more research on it, in terms of stats and everything, but it's something that I want to learn more about and to see how we can prevent, because so many young women are being abducted, and we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our daughters. We have to protect our nieces. We have to protect the women in our lives. So I feel that the more information, the more educated we become in how we protect ourselves, we can't just think that we live in a safe neighborhood and not be on the defense. I feel that the world that we're living in requires for you to constantly be on the defense. So you can't easily trust people. It's sad, but you can't easily trust people. A lot of times, a lot of young women that end up in sex trafficking, they trusted the wrong person. And sometimes they were abducted because they were they were just not paying attention. They were like maybe on their phone, yeah, like, you know, walking around mm-hmm. too freely. And I think we need to understand that it's real. It's a huge industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And no one is really talking about it in the, no one's really talking about it because there's a lot of people involved in it, I'm sure, you know? So, but we have to protect ourselves yes. so we don't become another victim. But yeah, there's, you know, the world is, this year, let me tell you, has been completely eye-opening. I feel that there was a veil that was lifted from many of our eyes. In one in which we started understanding the importance of social causes more, because I feel sometimes people just go about their days, you know, day to day, living their life, it's just them and their families, and they don't realize that there's an entire world in need outside of our bubble. And but it's also, it's been encouraging to see how many people have taken a stand and have been proactive for these social causes. So I think it's motivating.
Yes. And we need to continue to keep, like you said, keep educating ourselves and keep the conversation going and not letting it like slip through the cracks of what happened to Vanessa and letting what happened to her, not be resolved and not be, you know, the people, that right people, not be brought to justice. And like, again, even going further to protect our young girls and make sure that they are safe and they know what to do. And, you know, that they're protected from these people out here that are trying to hurt them, because it's happening, and it's happening right in front of us. And I don't think we realized it.
Yes. It's right in under our nose. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, I know our time is coming to an end. I'm so thankful that you joined me. And I know you are a big person on manifestation and self-love. And this new book of yours, 18 Inches, sounds exactly like what so many of us need. Is there a little excerpt that you can like share with us of your book, or something about it that may be a favorite part of it, or anything like that you would share?
Sure. I mean, I do share on my Instagram. Yeah, I do. I'm like a mom when it comes to my books. It's like, I love all my books. And every book, you know, it's like I reread them all the time. And I'm always like, oh, my God, I love this part. Oh, this might be my favorite poem. Oh, but no, this one is my favorite poem. It's so funny. Yeah. It doesn't change. So every book is, it's the same feeling. And I'm so grateful that I still have that feeling. If not, I don't think I would keep on doing it. I'm so blessed. But yeah, I can definitely share with you. Let's see, what kind of mood should we do? Actually, since we're talking a little bit about this, the subject of human nature, I'll read this one that I think it's a very powerful poem. And it's in the first chapter of 18 Inches. So I divided the book in 18 inches, 18 chapters. So the first... I always encourage people to read from beginning to end. Sometimes people think that just because it's a poetry book, you don't have to start from the beginning, but not my books. My books, you need to start from the very beginning, because I'm taking people on a journey, right? So this poem is called The Paradox of Human Nature. And it goes like this. I expect the sun to rise, but how dare I expect reciprocity? I expect the tree to bear fruit, but how dare I expect our bond to mature? I expect the weather to change, but how dare I expect a different behavior from you? I expect rainbows after the rain and solar eclipses when the moon blocks the sun, but how dare I expect sincere love? The paradox of human nature is that we teach each other to expect supernatural miracles. Yet when it comes to human relations, we teach each other to not have expectations.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Basically, what I'm saying in this poem is that, you know, I expect the sun to rise every day. You know, I expect to see the moon mm-hmm. every night. I expect to see rainbows after the rain. You know, these are all supernatural mm-hmm. things, right? And we've gone so used to expecting that, right? But how yes. dare me expect sincere love, or how dare me expect someone's behavior to be different, right? And it's mm-hmm. it's basically saying that it's the paradox, like the contradiction of human nature. We teach people since we're kids to expect mm-hmm. these supernatural miracles, yet when it comes to our human relationships, we teach each other to have no expectations.
So true. So, wow. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate that. Tell everybody where they can continue to follow you. I know we can find your books on Amazon. You guys, I have them linked on my blog, and I will definitely be sharing them in on my Instagram and my swipe ups and everything for you when it comes out on sale. And I know you can pre-order, right? People can pre-order your book.
You can pre-order now, 18 inches. You can pre-order now. The book will be released September 15th. But if you pre-order now, you'll get it like that day. So it's pretty awesome.
Yay!
Yes, you could follow me on Instagram at Mirtha Michelle, MIRTHAMICHELLE. And I always spell it out because sometimes people think it's Martha and it's Mirtha. I know not everyone has that name, but yeah. I'm going to be also relaunching. I have my site, MirthaMichelle.com, but I am relaunching the look and feel of the site. I'm going to be having a diary on the site. So people can go back and read some thoughts and don't have to necessarily wait until the next book. Right. You guys could follow me yes. there. I'm on Twitter, Mirtha_Michelle. And yeah. And I'm on Facebook too. I'm like pretty much at every social media.
Yes.
platform except TikTok. I haven't gone into TikTok.
You're
it seems like a fun platform. I have to learn how to use it. I truthfully don't know, but yeah, it comes out September 15th. I'm really excited for it. We'll be doing some book tour events.
Yay.
If the pandemic doesn't allow for in-person events, we're gonna have virtual ones. So
yes, and please let me know how I can help if anything virtual is happening I can help you promote. I am there. You know that. I always have your back. So anything that you need help with sharing, again, thank you so much. You have just been such an inspiration for so long for me, and I'm so glad to share you with everybody on my podcast. And I always, we'll talk about you here and there and talk about your books, and I share them with my friends.
Thank you so much.
And I buy them for my friends.
Thank you.
I'll send them to them, and I'm like, you gotta get this book. So yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it, and yay! I'm so excited for 18 inches. I'm already pre-ordered my book, so I'm gonna get mine on September 15th.
Amazing, amazing. Well, I can't wait to hear what you think of it. You'll have to definitely
pick me up
and tell me.
Well, thank you guys for joining us on this episode of Girl Talkie Mass. Don't forget to follow Mirtha on all her journeys. You guys definitely want to pick up her new book. I will share all the links in our podcast and below so you guys can get it, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and listen to us on Spotify, iHeart, and SoundCloud. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.